Foundations Lesson Number 15, Eternal Judgment, Part 2. With the groundwork that's been laid in Part 1, let's now take a look at Roman numeral number 2 on our outline. God will judge us according to, and then there's a list of 8 standards, 8 criteria, 8 gauges that he'll measure us by. It's so wonderful of the Lord to have given us the standards he's going to use at the judgment throne. If we know what's going to be on a test, we have a much better shot of doing well on that test. And the good news is that in God, every test is an open book test. So in his goodness and grace, he's decided to show us in advance what's on the test, partially because he wants every one of us to do really well on the test. He's delighted to give us rewards. He rejoices in being able to give lavish gifts to his sons and daughters. He just won't compromise his justice to do it. That wouldn't be right. And the judge of all the earth always does what is right. He is fully righteous. So, the first standard. God will judge us according to our actions, according to what we've done. Jesus told us that if someone gives even a cup of cold water to one of his followers, that they won't lose their reward. One of the very important factors to come up for evaluation will be how we treated our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said that as much as we have done it unto one of the least of these brothers of his, we've done it unto him. Another factor deals with what we did with our time. Everyone is given 24 hours in a day. What did we do with the precious gift of those 24 hours? And what about our finances? Did we handle our money and our possessions according to God's desire? Everything we have, we've been graciously given by the Lord himself. How did we use it? And what about our giftings? Everyone's been given abilities, talents, giftings with which they can be a blessing to other people. What did we do with them? Even the things that we didn't do that we should have done will come up for review. A story is told of a third grader who asked his teacher, "Should someone get punished for something they didn't do?" The teacher replied, "No, Johnny, no one should get punished for something they didn't do." So Johnny said, "Good, because I didn't do my homework." I think we all realize that there are some things we're supposed to do, and if we don't do them, there are consequences. James 4:17 says, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." So even those things get evaluated by the Almighty. All of that gets included in our being judged according to our actions. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Matthew 16:27, Jesus is speaking. He says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Romans 2, starting in verse 6, "God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." Secondly, God will judge us according to our words. Matthew 12, starting in verse 33, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." You might be thinking, "Well, that's a tough standard. Every careless word? Who can live up to that standard?" Let me ask you a question. Why do people speak careless words? Do you know what the main reason is? I believe we speak careless words. We speak careless words because we care less. If we took time to weigh our words before we spoke them, we wouldn't be inclined to speak carelessly. Jeremiah 12:11 says, "The whole land will be laid waste because there is no one who cares." So all our words will come up for review before God, not just the ones we want. Of course, the things we repented of while we were on earth, they got wiped out. There's no record of them in heaven. Those things were washed clean by the blood of Christ. They were forgiven. We can take comfort in that. But we have to understand that Jesus said, "By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Luke 19:22, Jesus, giving the parable of the minas, says, "His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant.'" James 5:9, "Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Psalm 19:14, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The next standard according to which we'll be judged is by our motives. In the first 18 verses of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, there are people who were doing three things. They were giving to the needy, they were praying, and they were fasting. Now, those are good things to be doing. Even Jesus said, when you do those things, not if. But interestingly enough, he identifies the people he's talking about who were doing those good things as hypocrites. That's right, hypocrites. Why? Because they were doing those good things for the wrong reasons. They did them with the wrong motives. They didn't do what they did in order to please God. They did what they did in order to be seen by men. They were far more interested in having a fine reputation than they were in the needy or in seeking God or in fasting. Hypocrisy is a matter of motive. It's possible for any one of us to do wonderful things, but to have a foul motive for doing those things. So when we stand before God's judgment throne, not only will our actions and our words come up for review, but so will our motives. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time each will receive his praise from God." 1 Chronicles 28:9, "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts." Romans 2:16, "This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." Luke 12:2, Jesus is speaking, he says, "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known." So, if you're like me and you still have a lot of foul motives, take heart. You're a candidate for receiving the cleansing power of the Almighty. God can change any of us, and He'll be delighted to do that as we ask for His forgiveness and trust Him to clean us up. God can purify any motive. Moving on, God will judge us according to the light we have received. "To whom much is given, much is required." The more light, the more revelation, the more grace we've received, or could have received because it was available, the more will be required of us. Matthew 11, starting in verse 20, says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. 'Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Because God performed great miracles, he expected a great response, a great turning to him in faith and repentance. To whom much is given, much is required. Luke 12, starting in verse 47, Jesus is speaking. He says, "That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." On a bookshelf in my office, I have a dozen translations of the Holy Bible into English. 12. There are tribes in Vanuatu that don't even have John 3:16 translated into their language. In the English-speaking world, we've received way, way, way more light than what they've received in the mountains of Nepal or in the deserts of Mongolia. So we have to realize that before the judgment throne of the Almighty, more will be required of us because we have had more available. We shouldn't feel guilty about having more. It has pleased God to bless us. He loves to be abundant in the gifts he gives. But we will be held accountable for what we did with the great amount of light we've received. Next, God will judge us according to the way we judge others. Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Jesus is speaking. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." If we've been harsh in evaluating other people, guess what standard we just presented to the Lord to judge us by? God will use the same harsh standard on us that we spoke over somebody else's life. So if you feel convicted right now, if you feel uncomfortable because you know that you've judged others badly, rejoice. Why? Because you and I still have time to change. We still have opportunity to repent. And our feeling bad is God's grace and kindness to us, letting us know that we need to turn from our ungodly ways. So long as we're in this body, we can still repent. And that's exactly what God wants. He wants us to do better, to rise to the occasion, to realize the error of our ways, to turn, and to have new life because of it. And he'll help us do that. Luke 6, 37 and 38, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Matthew 6, 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Ezekiel 7, 27. "I will deal with them according to their conduct, and by their own standards I will judge them. Then they will know that I am the Lord." So God will judge us according to the way we judge others. Then God will judge us according to the truth. Someone could claim that Abraham Lincoln was 3'7" tall with sandy brown hair. But that doesn't change the fact that he was 6'4" with very dark brown hair. People say all kinds of things that aren't true, but at the judgment throne of God, it's only the truth that will prevail. No false testimony, no incorrect assumptions, and no lies will be able to stand. They'll all bow to the truth. Any incorrect testimony will fall to the ground like dry leaves falling off a tree in October. We can take comfort in that. Romans 2:2 says, "Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth." Revelation 16:7, "And I heard the altar respond, 'Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments.'" Psalm 96:13, "He," the Lord, "will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth." Also, we'll be judged according to his own word. John 12, 47, 49, Jesus is speaking. "As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. John 5:45-47, Jesus is speaking, he says, But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? So God will judge us according to his own word. Lastly, God will judge us according to his own impartiality. I have two sons. When they were growing up, they had their occasional altercations, and I'd have to listen to both sides of the story and then try to make whatever judgment was appropriate. I found that I had a tendency to side with one of my sons more than the other because, in personality, I was more like him than his brother. So I had to make a very conscious effort to pray and ask God to help me be impartial. To the degree that we have similar experiences with people or have a similar makeup as people, to that degree we'll tend to show favoritism toward them even if we don't notice it. The good news is that God's not like that. He's created every single one of us, and he's felt what every one of us feel. So because he's 100% pure and holy, and because he knows all things, he's also 100% impartial. 1 Peter 1:17 says, Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Romans 2:11, For God does not show favoritism. Acts 10:34, Then Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. Deuteronomy 10:17, For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. God's judgment of every one of us will be perfect because he's perfect. In his great kindness to us, he's revealed the standards he'll use when we stand before his judgment throne. So let's live our lives now with a passion to please the Almighty with every thought, every motive, every attitude, every deed, and every word. Amen.